Welcome to Right Royal Roundup with Carolyn Cash. The show that keeps you updated with what's happening in the world of royalty, from the British royal family through to the aristocracy, and current events from around the royal world.
Hello, and welcome to Right Royal Roundup. I'm Carolyn Cash, and coming up later on today's show, a royal baby announcement, King Carl Gustav attends a scouting event in South Korea, Crown Prince Haakon visits Tonga, Charles and Camilla celebrate a wedding anniversary, and the old yarn about King Canute, so stay tuned.
On Right Royal Roundup, time now for a British royal family update. News and views from Buckingham Palace.
Buckingham Palace announced on Thursday, the 11th of April, that the Duke and Duchess of Sussex have decided to keep the details of the arrival of their baby private. No doubt this decision was made to avoid the media circus which occurred during the birth of the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge's three children outside the Lindo Wing at St Mary's Hospital in Paddington. However, the statement also said the Duke and Duchess look forward to sharing the exciting news once they have had a chance to celebrate privately as a new family. As the royal baby will be seventh in the line of succession to the British throne, no doubt Harry and Meghan, like the Princess Royal and the Earl and Countess of Wessex, want to raise their children out of the media spotlight as much as possible. Reports have claimed Meghan will likely give birth to her baby in the Mulberry Birth Centre at Frimley Park Hospital in Camberley in Surrey, which is about 15 miles or about 24 kilometres from Frogmore Cottage. This was the same hospital where the Countess of Wessex, as an older mother, gave birth to her two children, Lady Louise Windsor in 2003 and her brother James, Viscount Severn, in 2007. Some have speculated Meghan will be opting for a home birth instead, like many royal ladies, including Queen Elizabeth, who gave birth to her four children either at Buckingham Palace or Clarence House. So far, no details have been released about where the Duchess will give birth to the royal baby.
For any royal information heard on today's show, check us out at rightroyalroundup.com.au.
King Carl Gustaf of Sweden attended the 72nd Baden Powell Fellowship event on Friday the 5th and Saturday the 6th of April in Seoul, South Korea. He attended several meetings with the World Scout Foundation, participated in scouting activities, and gave a speech at a black tie gala dinner. You can read the transcript in English in full on our website with this week's show at rightroyalroundup.com.au. The Swedish King is the honorary chairman of the World Scout Foundation, as well as the principal honorary member of the Swedish Guide and Scout Association, honorary member of the Swedish Guide and Scout Council. King Carl Gustaf spoke about leadership during the events.
I think some people are leaders by nature, but the scouting, you can help people to become good leaders. You can pull forward the good values in a boy and a girl, and help them to understand what leadership is. And it's always about interaction between people and to understand people. I would like to find the real heroes in the Swedish society, the young people, and show to other young people that these are the real heroes and who does something extraordinary things for the society.
King Carl Gustaf became a Cub Scout in 1955 and a Scout in 1958. He visited Australia in 2016 for a Scout meeting in Melbourne with the Baden Powell Fellowship and presented medals to around 30 young Scouts. However, he isn't the only royal member, as Guillaume, hereditary Grand Duke of Luxembourg, had joined the World Scout Foundation in 2016 after being actively involved with the Scouts since he was 8 years old.
Visit Right Royal Roundup on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Right Royal Roundup. Or you can check out our website, rightroyalroundup.com.au.
Crown Crown Prince Haakon of Norway has arrived in Tonga as part of an official visit to three Pacific Islands and will visit Fiji and Samoa. Prince Atta, King Tupou VI's younger son, greeted Crown Prince Haakon upon arrival at Fuamotu International Airport, where his chartered flight arrived on Friday the 5th of April. The Crown Prince arrived at the Royal Palace at Nuku'alofa for an audience with King Tupou. Later that evening, King Tupou and Queen Nanasipo hosted dinner in honour of the Crown Prince's visit. The Crown Prince gave a speech saying he was there to learn more about how Tonga is dealing with the effects of so-called climate change. You can read the transcript of the Crown Prince's speech on our website at rightroyalroundup.com.au with this week's show. The visit's purpose is to strengthen Norway's partnership with South Pacific Island states to promote common interests in the United Nations, interests and areas of international cooperation, including oceans, so-called climate change, peace and security. During an interview with Norwegian News Bureau, or NTB, on the 6th of April, the Crown Prince said the oceans were rising, storms come and destroy communities, which affect people's lives. Sources say the sea rises a few millimetres every year. In Tonga, it is said to have risen by over 7 millimetres every year since 1993. They also say the sea levels will be about 24 to 30 centimetres higher in 2065 and that most of Tonga will disappear. Locals have been planting mangroves to help protect the coastline. Crown Prince Haakon accompanied Queen Nanasipu to help with planting the mangroves before meeting with Tonga's Deputy Prime Minister Sema Sika to discuss climate and ocean health issues. The Deputy Prime Minister presented Crown Prince Haakon with Tonga's coat of arms. Afterwards, Crown Prince Haakon visited a natural phenomenon, the blowholes at the village of Huma. The water passes through the holes in lava and shoots up several metres in the air. The Crown Prince also attended a dinner with traditional youth at Likuarofa before travelling to the airport for his flight to Fiji.
For any royal information heard on today's show, check us out at rightroyalroundup.com.au.
Charles and Camilla celebrated their 14th wedding anniversary on the 9th of April 2019, with Clarence House releasing a new black and white photo to mark the occasion. The image was posted on Instagram and Twitter. Photographer Alexei Lubomirsky, who took Harry and Meghan's engagement and wedding photos, took this candid photo for Vanity Fair magazine. The caption reads, quote, "Thank you for your warm wishes on the occasion of the Prince of Wales and the Duchess of Cornwall's wedding anniversary," end of quote. Prince Charles and the Duchess of Cornwall visited Hillsborough Castle on the day of their wedding anniversary for the reopening. Prince Charles had addressed the crowd, mentioning the anniversary.
"Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm enormously grateful to you all for coming such a long way to celebrate our wedding anniversary. Incredibly good of you. But it also gives my wife and I great joy to be with all of you today in Northern Ireland for the official reopening of Hillsborough Castle."
Prince Charles had married divorcee Camilla Parker Bowles in a civil ceremony at the Guildhall in Windsor in 2005. The Queen and Prince Philip did not attend the ceremony, but Prince William was present, acting as a witness. However, the Queen and Prince Philip did attend the blessing service at St George's Chapel, which was held later that day. After the wedding, Prince Charles and Camilla travelled to their Scottish home, Birkhall, for their honeymoon.
On Right Royal Roundup, we now go back in time for some Right Royal regal history.
Whilst many claim they can stop climate change, they forget the old yarn how King Canute told the incoming tide to stop but failed about 1,000 years ago. King Canute was a Danish ruler who defeated the English King Edmund Ironside and forced an agreement which divided the country. Edmund Ironside died a month later, so Canute became the sole ruler. For a while, England was part of the North Sea Empire, which included Denmark, Norway, and parts of Scotland and Sweden. He was crowned at St Paul's Cathedral in 1016, with the Royal Mint producing a commemorative coin to mark 1,000 years since the beginning of his reign. Canute was a popular king as he fought off the Vikings and eventually became king of Denmark as well, following his brother's death in 1018 and of Norway in 1028. To prove to his fawning courtiers that he was not God, he took them down to the seashore, placed his throne in the sand, and commanded the incoming tide to stop. Of course, the tide didn't, and King Canute ended up with wet feet and legs, not to mention damp clothes. King Canute then roused on his courtiers and, according to Henry of Huntingdon's account, the Chronicle, then said, quote, "Let all men know how empty and worthless is the power of kings, for there is none worthy of the name, but he whom heaven, earth, and sea by eternal laws." End of quote. Then King Canute was said to have hung his crown upon a crucifix and never wore it again, quote, "to the honour of God the Almighty King." End of quote. The incident was said to have taken place at Thorny Island, which is now known as Westminster, where Canute built a royal palace in London during his reign. However, two other places in England have laid claim to this incident. A sign in Canute Road in Southampton city centre says, quote, "Near this spot, AD 1028, Canute reproved his courtiers." End of quote. Bosham in West Sussex, where Canute was said to have owned a manor house close to the harbour, is another one, along with a claim that Canute's daughter had drowned in a millstream and buried in the local church. That's all we have for this week. Thanks for joining us, and we look forward to your company again next week.
You've been listening to Right Royal Roundup with Carol and Cash. Tune in next week for more of the latest royal news from around the world. And don't forget to like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Right Royal Roundup, or visit our website, rightroyalroundup.com.au.